81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And roll. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, September 25th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield alongside. And Chase is looking all chipper this morning. What is that? Kennedy Space Center hoodie. Yeah, nice. NASA. But we're ready to go. And I will tell you this. We've talked about, before we get into the sports side of things, and we've got a lot to cover this morning, even a little bit of rain, Chase, because we haven't gotten that much. But even a little bit of rain, it has knocked. Have you noticed how it's knocked some of the dust out of the air? Yeah, and I'm breathing better. And I was hoping we'd get a good soaking for, you know, 3 or 4 hours last night. And I'm disappointed, too. And listen, I know they have to be cautious with the forecast, based on the forecast. But we gave away those 5 pair of tickets yesterday for the Beach Boys and the OJs. And then they postponed the concert last night. But if you got your tickets, hold on to them. They'll be good whenever they reschedule the concert. But boy, I was, you know, disappointed for all our listeners that won those tickets and then they postponed, and then it didn't really do anything last night. But again, they had to make a decision based on the forecast, and the forecast was for potentially severe thunderstorms and lightning, and we didn't get that. But anyway, the air this morning is a little easier to breathe in, and we're ready to go, and we got a great show on tap, which I'm going to get to in a moment. First, though, let me tell you, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it's just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, or stop by and see them at one of their 38 locations in the state of Alabama and one in Northwest Florida, and you will find out for yourself what makes Alabama Credit Union special. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. Ample extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today at 9:30, it's the coach, Ellis Johnson. Cannot wait to visit with him about this huge schedule of games coming up in the SEC. Also at 10 o'clock, we're going to talk with Tim McCool about the Back 40 Farm Festival. This isn't sports, but it's a big event, and it's set for this Saturday at the Old Zion Schoolhouse in Gordo, celebrating local farmers and benefiting the Old Zion Schoolhouse. This is going to be a fun event, man. There's going to be a lot going on. They'll present an award for the Hardest Working Farmer Award, live music from American Idol finalist Isaiah Moore, local musician Andy Gray, and the 82 West Band, and a reunion just for fun of Tim McCool Band after 26 years. Tim McCool will be with us to tell us more about this. His dad was a farmer for 70 years. So again, we'll be talking about the Back 40 Farm Festival at 10 o'clock. Then Jeff Spiegel, sit here, I'm talking about the weather helping my voice. Now all of a sudden I get a little bit choked up, but I said it helped it. I didn't say it was perfect. But at 10:30, Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340. Hey, right off the top, because I cover high school football so much, and I know we're going to get into Alabama, Georgia, obviously, and all the big national stories, but Chase, I'm very disappointed that for the first time in 100 years, Pickens County and Gordo will not be facing off in the 8 Mile War on Friday night, scheduled for Gordo. The announcement made Wednesday comes after a social media post made by the Gordo varsity cheer team was widely criticized for containing imagery seen as racially insensitive. In the post, the cheer team declared Friday as Tame the Tornadoes Day and suggested students dress up in a safari tour guide animal theme. The photo, along with the post, showed about a dozen white students dressed casually, with several holding stuffed monkeys or bananas. Both schools fall within the Pickens County school system. Gordo High School, of course, is a 4A school. Pickens County is a 1A school, but it's a great rivalry, one of the best in the state of Alabama. On Wednesday, Pickens County High School Principal Lee Richardson announced the game would be canceled. And he said, while the rivalry has been a proud tradition since 1924, a recent social media post from Gordo V. Cheer Facebook page caused a deep concern among students, families, and the community. Richardson said the cancellation was made out of an abundance of caution with the safety and well-being of our students, athletes, and community placed above all else. Now, I would have liked to have seen the game played, maybe without fans. Maybe even if you're worried about there being incidents, move it. Falcon Field's empty this Friday night. I bet you they would have cooperated. Tuscaloosa Central's at Gardendale, played it here. I do understand, though. Chase, let me bring you in. I understand from the standpoint of this is 2025 and you don't want a potential for any type of issues coming out of something like this. Having said that, for the players and the coaches, you only get to play 10 high school football games during the regular season. This is one of the best rivalries in the state. I mean, I'm just disappointed they're not getting to play. I certainly understand if emotions are running high, why they're not playing, but I'm disappointed that they're not playing. I think you can understand why they're not playing and still be disappointed they're not playing at the same time.
It's a very sticky situation, Gary. It's unfortunate, and it's crazy because I know Philip had called early in the morning about it, and I fear that there will be a point where there won't be any themed typed football Fridays or themed games like that anymore because of incidents like that. It is unfortunate because it does affect the players and the coaches because it's such a good rivalry, and I was learning more about it through some of the callers that called in earlier. And you're right, they only get 10 games a season, and it's unfortunate because it is a historic rivalry here in Alabama, especially as an outsider from New Orleans. But I would love for them to play in a different stadium, maybe no fans at all, maybe just broadcast it. But I get for the safety of the students because, you know, race is so it's so important here in America, not just America, in the world. But it is unfortunate, and hopefully they can rectify this for the future.
All right, we're going to move on to other topics. And one thing we're going to do is we're going to move on to a phone call. And we're Corey and Trustful, you hold tight. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. But let's go ahead and take Deacon in Northport here on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. Hey, Deacon.
What's going on, Gary? I had a question, but before that, I wanted to comment on this. You know, why didn't Gordo just suspend the students and the students that posted it, say, y'all aren't allowed at the game and you're suspended for 5 days? I don't know, but I understand the cancellation of the game. I'm like you. I hate that it's not going to be played because it's such a traditional rivalry.
Yeah, me too. And listen, I understand about the racial insensitivity. I'm, you know, looking at the picture, I don't know that the kids meant anything by it. You know, so you have the Savannah Bananas, you know, you have the safari theme. At the same time, whether they meant anything by it or not, if someone is offended by it, I understand that too. So, but right. I just hate the game's not going to be played. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the kicker to me, Gary, is that, you know, if you're going on a safari, and I've known a few people that have, I've never been fortunate enough to do that, but if you're going on a safari, you're hunting lions and rhinos and things like that. Why are you holding monkeys?
That's right. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
With the racial insensitivity, it almost seems like that was a shot to past racial situations. But so I understand the cancellation of the game. I just wish the students had been affected and not the players, coaches, and fans.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think they probably didn't play the game out of fear that if you got the two fan bases together, all it takes is a little bit of chirping back and forth, and the next thing you know, have an incident. As I said, I think you could have probably played it without fans, and if you're worried about playing it in Pickens County, I think you could have found a stadium here that in Tuscaloosa that was going to be vacant. But they didn't have a lot of notice, and you know, this is probably the safest way to go for just what you said, Deacon. You know, listen, I don't know that the students meant anything by it, but regardless, being tone deaf is not an excuse. This is 2025, all right? Exactly. You've got a school in Gordo that's a majority white school, certainly has African-American students, but is majority white, and you've got Pickens County, which is a majority African-American school, and you're playing against each other. And the school that's majority white puts out a picture that I can certainly understand, and I'm not African-American, but I can understand the possibility that somebody would be offended by that.
I can as well.
And the principal...
If they were holding stuffed lions, So maybe there would have been no, you know, nothing taken by it. It's just, it almost seems like it was a message, even to my eyes. And I'm white, you know.
Yep. So,
but anyway, my question for you, Gary, I know you've got other things to do. I was listening to Mac and Cube this morning, and there was a rule change that I did not know about, which I'm kind of boosts me on Saturday's game. Alabama has had a big problem in the past years, even though we have a good record against Georgia, with false start penalties. And I had noticed, I played ball for a lot of years, but I had noticed that there was a coordinated shift on the Georgia defensive line. And according to Mac and Cube, there is a rule that there are no more defensive coordinated shifts. Like, you know, you could be head up and on a word, everybody shifts to the A gap or the B gap. And it really confuses the offensive line because of the noise, and you're listening for claps and you're listening for words, as Peyton Manning would always say, Omaha. But since that has been enacted, it sounds like that will be a lot easier on the offensive line to not get confused, because you're looking for, you know, you're looking for stunts, you're looking for everything
right
from the defense, and all of a sudden the entire defensive line shifts the gap. That could be, you know, to anybody, that could be like, oh, I got to go.
Right.
So I'm just wondering your opinion on how that might help our offensive line stay in their stance until the snap count.
Well, I would think it would help a lot for the reasons you just laid out, Deacon. And they need to, because to me, if you're an offense, now obviously, you know, holding is a 10-yard penalty, you know, a chop block is a 15-yard penalty. There are penalties that are more severe. But to me, nothing is a momentum killer more for an offense than a legal procedure. You know, when you get a penalty before you even take a snap, you know what I'm saying? First and 10 goes to first and 15, or second and 6 goes to second and 11. To me, those are momentum killers. So I hope it helps them. I'll tell you that, because you're right. That's an area where, to me, it's inexcusable. You have got to have the discipline and the coaching and the understanding that you're all on the same page on that offensive line, and that an illegal procedure or an illegal motion is just a drive killer. So I hope it helps
them. Well, you know, they said Georgia 90% of the time, 90% of the plays when they were on defense, when it was third and 3 or less, they would do that coordinated shift. And so you're looking at going from 3rd and 3 when you've already got your play set up. You may be doing, you know, you may be doing a run, probably doing a run. All of a sudden you're in 3rd and 8 and you've got to go to a completely bit different set and a completely different play off the hat. So getting rid of that coordinated shift, I think, is really going to help our line, because our line has propensity for jumping anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, I didn't know. I really appreciated hearing that information. I just wanted to get your opinion on it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's helped them a lot, particularly when you add in the noise. If you can't, you know, like you said, do those coordinated shifts, there'd be really no excuse for moving early. So hopefully they'll settle in, because they're going to have to play well. This Georgia defensive front is not what it's been in the past, but it's still good enough. If you don't block them well, they're going to make some plays.
And if we, you know, if we block, we don't have to block perfectly in pass pro, but if we do the best job we've done all year, the way Ty throws the ball, mm-hmm. and the receivers we've got, it should look a lot. He should have the passing yards, you know, comparable. Maybe not as much, but comparable to what Aguilar had against them.
Yeah, he gets it out of his hand, which will help. You're right. If you give him a little time in that pocket, he'll get rid of the football. And they should be able to move the ball. I think they should be able to move the ball. George is going to move it too. I've got it in that 35-28 type of range. So we'll see. Hey, Deacon, great call, man.
Have a good one, Gary.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Hey, one other thing on the Pickens County deal, and then we're going to move on. Jeff Campbell, the principal at Gordo, took responsibility. Again, this was a dress-up day. Schools do it all the time. Did it when I was in school. I remember, you know, graduating from Heflin, Cleburne County, a little rural school. A lot of the schools that would do dress-up days when they played us would do, you know, the hillbilly theme and all that. And, you know, it happens, but still, you have to. This is 2025, man. You and I was glad to see that Jeff Campbell took responsibility, because ultimately he's the principal of the school. So, but I am disappointed those two schools are not playing. Hey, we're going to come back. We're going to get to you, Corey, and Trustful. You hold tight. The coach, Ellis Johnson, coming up at 9:30. And I'm also going to, you know, I went, let's see, 6-5, 5-5, and 7-4 my first 3 weeks. And I still have not told you what I went this past week in my SEC point spread prediction picks. So I will do that as well. We'll be back with more phone calls on the Gary Harris Show. Stay with us.
what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. If Warrior Met Coal wins new federal coal land leases and expands its operations in Tuscaloosa County, it could endanger the Black Warrior Water Dog Salamander, found only in the Black Warrior River watershed. That according to the Black Warrior Riverkeeper. Bidding for the 14,000 acres of land and potentially 53.2 million tons of coal is set for next Tuesday. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free on Hartley Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
.com. Your West Alabama high school football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're going to jump back out on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. Talk to our good pal Corey over there in Trussell. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Well,
I'm ready for some football. Got a good slate Saturday, and I'm interested in how, not just Alabama, but how the rest of the Saturday goes. I know you'll make your points per predictions tomorrow, but What do you think of these other games? Because I think A&M can win Saturday. I'm kind of back and forth on Ole Miss and LSU, and I think Oregon's going to beat Penn State. I just don't trust James Franklin in these big game situations.
Yeah, I like Oregon too. I'm with you. I like Oregon a lot. I like Oregon over Penn State. I'm with you. I'd be completely wrong, but I think Oregon's a much better team than Penn State based on what I've seen so far this year. So we'll see in the SEC. Yeah, I'll make my points per predictions tomorrow. Now, obviously, you know, I've already picked Georgia 35-28 over Alabama, so I'll be taking the Georgia minus the points in that one and hope that I'm wrong. Notre Dame at Arkansas. I guess this goes to show you how these odds makers understand, like we said before, it's a reactionary society and perception. I would probably have set that line at 6 or 7, but Notre Dame's only a 4.5-point favorite, I think, because it is in Fayetteville. And even though Arkansas has lost those last two games, they should have won them. And they're a pretty good football team. I have no clue on that one right now. I'm going to have to study it a little more. I'm with you on
usually
on,
be 4-0 if the running back doesn't fumble.
Yeah, that's right. Just like Tennessee makes that field goal, they're undefeated and in the top five in the country. And Georgia's got a loss, so it comes down to a play here and there. But the game that interests me the most out of all the non-Alabama Georgia games, though, is LSU and Ole Miss. The kind of games they played the last few years since Kiffin's been in Baton Rouge and Kelly and I mean Kiffin in Oxford and Kelly in Baton Rouge, phenomenal games. Overtime games. Ole Miss is a 1.5-point favorite at home. Man, that's a game right there that I think is going to be just like those other ones. I think it's going to go right down to the wire. Wouldn't surprise me if it went to overtime.
Do you think wrong team's favored there?
Do I think LSU should be favored?
Yes.
No, I think Ole Miss should be favored. It's 1.5, I think, at home. They say you get 3 points for playing at home. So if in essence, you could look at it and say LSU's actually 1.5-point favorite based on if it were a neutral site. But no, I would set Ole Miss as a slight favorite at home. I really would.
Yeah, if I were Lane Kiffin, I would have that quarterback they have now as the rest of the season, because he's the one that's been making the plays and been generating the offense, and he seems to bring the offense to life.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So, but it's a great schedule of games, Corey. I mean, it's one of those days, and since I'm not going to Athens, I'm going to be able to you know, be like a fan, and it's going to start at 11 o'clock that morning and pretty much go through, you know, 10 o'clock that night. I mean, we got some great, great games to watch. And Auburn and A&M, you mentioned that's another one that's, you know, going to be a fun game. So it's going to be a lot of good football on Saturday.
Thompson goes to Clay Chalk for tonight. That's going to be a huge game. Probably talk to Jeff Spiegel about that. And then it's homecoming for Hewitt tomorrow, host Pinson Valley. And then the big one next week, if we beat Pinson, is Thompson and Hewitt. If Thompson beats Clay, of course I'll be pulling for Clay Chalkful. I know that probably.
If there's going to be a 6A team that's going to beat Thompson, it's going to be Clay. I mean, that's, you know, there aren't many 6A teams that can stay with Thompson, but I think Thompson will win the game. I think Hewitt's going to win the game against, you know, 6A Pinson Valley, and I think next week that Hewitt Thompson game will be to this point in the season, it'll be the high school game of the year. I mean, there's no other way around it. I mean, a winner of that game is going to be the favorite to win 7A Region 3. And if Hewitt's going to do it, this looks like maybe their best opportunity. They've got a team that, they're really good. I was really impressed with what they were able to do to Hillcrest last week. I did not expect that, Corey. You know that. I thought Hillcrest would have a chance to win that game. And Hewitt just, Hewitt kind of dominated them.
And we get Thompson at home, which is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely, it is. So, but now I think Thompson will be. Listen, Clay Chalkful's a heck of a football team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they're competitive in the game. But I think Thompson's going to win. I think you guys are going to win tomorrow night, and like you said, and then we're set up for a true high school football showdown next week at Hewitt Trustful. So, it's going to be fun.
Oh, I agree. If he thinks that Alabama, if whatever happens, the Cowboys still make the playoff if they lose, or if or what's his perception of Alabama going forward in this game, or you might already ask that question anyway.
Well, I'll do it, Corey. Hey, man, have a great day, buddy, and I'll be at Innisfree tomorrow. Maybe you can call back tomorrow too, and I'll have my point spread predictions.
Good talk to you, Gary. Wrong time.
Yeah, thank you. By the way, real quickly, I went 7-2 last week, my best week. So I'm now 25-16 in SEC point spread predictions for the year. That's not bad. I'll take it. But I don't want to jinx myself because it's good. This is a much tougher week. I'm looking at these games and I'm like, I could go this way, I could go that way. We're coming back with the coach, Ellis Johnson, next.
Learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
All right, 9:33 here, Lahoudia and the Blowfish. You know, we're going up to Columbia, South Carolina to talk with the coach, Ellis Johnson. Coach, I'm wondering, when you're hearing that's been your theme music now for a couple years that you've been on. Are you sitting there rocking to the tune when you hear it come up? are you grooving a little bit?
I was never a real big Hootie fan. Now, when I was at South Carolina with Maddie, you know, and it was fun.
But, yeah.
There are a few more probably be on top of my list
for
that one.
I got you. Hey, I tell you what you're
talking about. I've got a son at Clemson, so I'm no longer a Hootie fan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Hootie and Blowfish are South Carolina all the way. But on the top of our list this weekend is an incredible weekend. Last weekend was, you know, we had some good games, but it was, you know, it was not as great a weekend as we normally have in this conference, but this weekend, man, everywhere you look, there are great games. And we're going to start in Athens because number 5 Georgia, it sounds weird saying number 17 Alabama, but that's the case. But we know the record. Alabama's 9-1 against Georgia in the last 10. Kirby's 1-6 against the Tide. That one win was a national championship. And he talked this week, and Alabama hasn't been to Athens in 10 years, and he was actually on the Crimson Tide sideline. And I was thinking, Ellis, that Alabama probably had to, not only did it help Kirby's career to be the defense coordinator for Nick Saban, but they probably played a direct role in him getting that job, because if Mark Richt had won that 2012 SEC championship game, or if he'd won that 2015 game at home against Alabama when they were, I think, number 3 in the country and undefeated, it might have changed things. He might have kept his job for a couple more years, and Kirby's trajectory could have been completely different. But that job came open after 15. Kirby took it, and the rest is history. But we know this. This is a big game, particularly for Alabama, from the standpoint that they've already got a loss, even though it's not in conference. You take 2 losses in your first 4 games, and you're going to be running uphill. But for Georgia, they probably shouldn't have beaten Tennessee, but they did. That's what great teams do. And now they're at home, and I know their fans are confident or talking confident, but they've got to be if they're truthful with themselves, they got to be scared to death of Alabama, because if a team's had your number the way Alabama's had Georgia's number, it's got to make you nervous, regardless of whether you're home or where, you know, regardless of where you're playing the game.
Yeah, I had no idea. It had been 10 years since they had played there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge game. They're both coming off a bye week or open week, so not anything to talk about last week's games. Alabama's not the same team they were when they opened up. I think they fixed a lot of things. Mainly their mental approach. If it stays tight and it's a tough ball game, I would have to give the edge to Georgia, being at home and being the fact that they have won a lot of close football games under pressure, including one you just mentioned, Tennessee. But right now, if Ryan Williams can somehow find himself and start making a number of big plays that he used to make in a game, Alabama's playing really good on offense, and they may find a few things in Georgia's defense. They're not nearly as deep and as physical as they've been in some previous years. So I'm kind of going with Georgia because it's at home, but it would not shock me at all if Alabama comes out of there with a big win.
As a coach, you've been through rivalry games. You've been through games where you were coaching for the team that had rattled off a win streak. You've been in games where you were on the other side of that, playing a team that had your number. Is there anything to that, you know, from a coaching and playing standpoint, that you just get a little more nervous or have more anxiety because you're playing a certain team that you have not had success against? Or is it because it's a new team and a new season, coaches and players are able to wipe that out and just look at the one game in particular, not the history of the series?
It's a little more of the latter. I think that, you know, when new players come in, maybe even some new coaches on that staff, they don't remember the things that happened 2 and 3 years ago. But, you know, if something is a 5 to 10 year trend, it can, I think, affect the approach. And what happens many times is teams press and they get too emotionally into it. And a rival that comes to my mind is Texas A&M and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes Texas A&M's fan base gets overly hyped up for it, and sometimes that can creep into your program and into your players with the social media and everything else going on today. I know we were at Mississippi State, and we were a little down when we came in before we got that thing turned around, but there was a mental block with these kids with LSU. We would play some teams that were better than we were and play them really close and play good football, but we did not ever play good football against LSU. And I thought it was sort of a mental thing. Kids either overhyped or either they weren't ready to play or they didn't know they could play.
Both these quarterbacks, Gunnar Stockton and Ty Simpson, went into the season as unknowns. I mean, Gunnar had played, obviously, when Beck went down last year. Simpson had done some mop-up duty, but both of them have played really well so far this season. Do you think it's too simplistic to think it could come down Saturday night to which quarterback plays the best in this game as to who wins?
Absolutely. I think that's exactly what will happen unless somebody goes in and turns the ball over 5 times. I think that whichever quarterback can make some critical plays and extend some drives and end up with, you know, causing points, that's going to be the difference in the ball game. They're both good on defense. They're both, I think, Georgia a little better, but they're not as dominant as they have been. And I think that both of them have a real balanced attack on offense, and it's probably because of the quarterbacks. I give Stockton a little bit of edge to having a method to make a play out of a bad play a little bit more than Simpson. So I would give him that edge. But I think Ty right now, I don't know anybody that's executing better than he is.
Yeah, he's been, the last couple of weeks, he's been phenomenal. Both these defensive lines, when you look back over the last 10 years, and certainly when Saban was establishing his program, Alabama was dominant up front on defense. Boy, Georgia, when Kirby got there, man, you look at, you know, the guys that they put in the NFL. These defensive lines are talented, but they don't, neither one seems dominant to me. You know, both have struggled to rush the passer a little bit. Now, last week, Alabama got after, or 2 weeks ago, got after Wisconsin a little bit, but that was their first four sacks of the season. They got them all in one game. And Georgia is not rushing the passer the way they have in the past. And we know Tennessee gutted them with a run. Both these defensive lines, in your opinion, not quite up to par in terms of what they've been in the past?
Absolutely. And it's what I mentioned earlier. What I see in a lot of these teams that used to be able to stack depth is the portal is starting to pull the second team players off their rosters. And it's just impossible to keep these kids that they know they're good enough to start for somebody else. And the NIL money can be a part of it too, but it's more that they want to go somewhere and they want to play and prove more about big kids than any other position on the field. You have got to be able to rotate, because a big kid, a 280, 300 pounder, once you lose them physically, they get stripped out. They're not getting back that game. They'll never be the same in that game. And I don't think they have the ability on either one of those fronts to rotate like they used to. And, Gary, you know, I mean, they've been somebody every year for the past 15 years. I'll bet you there's been a first-round defensive lineman from Georgia and from Alabama in the draft. And they lose them, and the next year they got just as good a front because they were stacking that depth. I don't think that's the case anymore.
I agree. All right, so who do you like on Saturday night?
I think Georgia has the edge because they're at home, and I think the ball game will be close. If it's not a close game, it's going to be because Alabama explodes early in the game. So that's it. Their best shot is to go over there and, you know, blow up about the first quarter and a half and have a double-digit lead, take the crowd out of it. Maybe they can win it. If it's a dogfight the whole time, I'd have to go with Georgia.
All right, let's get to Auburn at A&M. Boy, A&M, maybe this is the year they get over the hump. And Auburn lost a tough one at Oklahoma, gave up, I think, 11 sacks in the game. Had a couple, you know, calls go against them, but nonetheless, they lost the game. Now they're looking, staring at 0-2 going to College Station this weekend. How do you see this game?
Going to be hard being at Texas A&M. All the noise, the other factors they got to deal with, but they just went to Oklahoma and did everything but beat them in the score. They dealt with the noise and all that. The quarterback played well under pressure. The sacks were bad. I think that was an indication Oklahoma's secondary is pretty good, because Auburn's receiver core is scary. Those guys, even when they weren't able to execute a completion, you can see some dangerous people in that group. I think they're the best in the nation as a group. They got to get over what happened to them last week mentally. And I tell you, it's going to be hard, Gabe, because the fumble return for a touchdown was replayed and looked at, and you could get a debate going for 2 hours on which way that should have gone.
Yeah.
But they didn't get the call.
Right.
But the deceptive play should cost some referees their jobs.
Yeah, that's why the league put out a statement that night. You don't see that very often, but they put out a statement that night. Yeah.
And if you miss it on the field, what are these replay people doing? I mean, it's just crazy that they would let that happen, and that's tragic. I mean, they can't fire them because they don't have enough officials today. But they got to get over that mentally, and that's going to be hard. So it wouldn't shock me if they go out there and hang 35 on Texas A&M if they get rolling. But I just think Texas A&M's got a lot of advantages, and I think it's going to be hard for Auburn to beat them out there.
In Oxford, we get the Magnolia Bowl. Boy, since Kiffin got to Ole Miss and Kelly to LSU, these teams have played maybe as good a game as we've seen in this league. I mean, overtimes, double overtimes. I don't have any reason to believe this one's not going to go right down the wire, too, at Vaught-Hemingway on Saturday afternoon.
It could. I mean, there's one thing that concerns me for LSU. Well, two things. They're going in for an away game at Ole Miss. But the second thing is their secondary has not been real consistent. But I think that LSU going to give the Shambliss kid some problems. And I think it's going to be the first time. The kid's played unbelievably well, and they're going to have to start him this week. I don't think he's going to handle it real well. And I think LSU is going to get enough stakes off of him to win the ball game.
A real really interesting game because Shane Beamer now, and I, before I get to Kentucky and South Carolina, I'll ask you about South Carolina. You've coached there, and you've seen it in this league. You have your blue bloods, and then you have teams that are trying to kind of get there. And when they're under the radar, boy, they have a big season. Then all of a sudden, the next year, expectations are ramped up. And, you know, people were talking about South Carolina being a playoff contender, an SEC championship contender. And so far, you know, they've lost two SEC games. They're 0-2. I mean, I would think at home against Kentucky. This, number one, is the pressure of the expectations getting to them? And number two, is this a must-win for South Carolina if they're going to have any chance to salvage their season at home against Kentucky?
If they don't win this game, Gary, I don't know if they can get to a bowl game. And those are things that really can affect recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they were overrated at the beginning of the season. They lost too many really good football players on defense, and they were a lot of 5- and 6-year players. Leadership, toughness, physicality. They have a lot of new kids on defense. Their team speed on that side of the ball is excellent, but they're not able to stop the run effectively, and they're just not as stout as they used to be. And I don't know why they expected any more than that. They hung everything on Sellers' shoulders. And he is a great athlete, but he's struggling a little bit too. They don't have a good running back, at least an SEC top, you know, tier running back. And the receiver core is good, but there's 2-3 young kids in there. They're not blocking on the perimeter real well. And they did play better last week in their route running, receiving, all that kind of thing. They're still a little bit young at receiver. They're not as good a football team as everybody said they were at the beginning of the year. I mean, it's just a fact. And he's not able to carry this thing by himself. But they need to win this ball game. I think they're favored by almost a touchdown. Got him at home at night. But they had Vanderbilt at home at night. And they got spanked, too. Kentucky's not as good as Vandy, but it's going to be a tough, tough game. And if they don't win it, I don't see but about 1-2 more wins on the schedule.
Wow. All right, Tennessee and Mississippi State. Now, a few weeks ago, this probably would have been just a given that Tennessee would win the game, but Mississippi State under Jeff Lebby got a lot of momentum. I mean, obviously the win over Arizona State, but you know what? They pulled away against the Northern Illinois team last week. He's got a tradition and history of, you know, had beaten Notre Dame, had beaten Alabama before, and it was a 14-10 at half game, and they pulled away to win at 38-14. Is this Mississippi State team good enough to pull the upset on Saturday at Davis-Wade Stadium, Scott Field against the Tennessee?
I think that's a good way to put it. They're good enough. Now, can they do it? That's another matter. There are about 10 teams in this conference right now that could end up in the championship game. And certainly Tennessee's one of them. And so this is a big game for them. They get their second conference loss, they're done. I think that Mississippi State has enough weapons. They're playing better on defense, too. And got them at home. Tennessee better play the best ball game if they want to make sure they get out of there without an upset.
Outside of the league, Arkansas hosts Notre Dame. And when you look at Arkansas, sometimes you just wonder if certain coaches are just jinxed. I mean, this team ought to be undefeated. I mean, extra point missed and a fumble against Ole Miss and Oxford cost them that game, and then my gosh, they did the same thing against Memphis at the Liberty Bowl. And you look at their score, their record in one score game since he's been the head coach, Sam Pittman. Having said all that, if you could knock off Notre Dame on Saturday morning, it would get people excited again. How do you see their chances in this game, and how difficult is it as a coaching staff to keep trying to get a team up when you really are better than your record? I mean, they should be undefeated.
Yeah, I think you're kind of hitting on the problem. It can get to be mental. And then, you got doubts in your mind and so forth. Notre Dame's solid this year, but they're not great. And they don't really have a lot of explosiveness on offense that I've seen. And Arkansas can play with them. And they've got them in Arkansas. The problem is, again, they're shooting themselves in the foot. They're not good enough on defense to put their defense in a bind in a critical situation with a turnover or something like that in bad field position. They're a little bit vulnerable on defense. So I don't think Arkansas can beat Notre Dame unless Notre Dame doesn't play well.
Let's get outside the SEC. Who is the... I'm going to tell you the best team I've seen so far, Coach. For me, just watching on TV and scanning games and all, Miami's the best team I've seen. I think they're the most complete team. And we know the SEC, the grind that the SEC is 1 through 16. But that doesn't mean that there aren't elite teams around the country. And so far, Miami, obviously what Florida State's been able to do to bounce back, Ohio State. But who's the best team you've seen so far in the country?
I agree with you. They're playing complete football every weekend and every phase. And in that respect, I would say they're the best football team I've watched. I'm not sure they're the best football team talent-wise and roster-wise. They're good, but I'm not sure they're that. Oregon, to me, looks really explosive and playing good defense and so forth. And they're an underdog going to Penn State. To me, that's the biggest game outside of SEC.
It is. Mm-hmm.
We don't talk much about those things. But Penn State, I mean, Oregon going to Penn State and being a 3.5-point underdog, that's going to be an interesting game. But I agree with you 100%. There's no team in the USA right now playing more complete football every time they go on the field than Miami.
Sounds like you're like me a little bit. You like Oregon, it sounds like. I like them to go in there and win that game outright.
I think they will. And I was a little bit shocked at the point spread, but, of course, they're going up Happy Valley. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the difference, you know, yeah. Put those 3.5 on that.
The 9-game schedule for the SEC, as a guy who coached in this league many years at many different schools, do you like it or not?
Yeah, I think it makes the most sense. Now, when I coached in that league, they didn't have the same number of teams.
Right.
But when you got this many teams, and really, I can talk as a coach, I don't know what I'd have to see it from the inside out. But as a person who's looking at it with some athletic background, all the TV contract, the leverage on the money to get more money, putting yourself in a position where you're going to be ranked or getting a little bit higher seed in the playoffs, I just think it makes sense. And I think the thing that I also like about it is kind of unique is the way they've got it set now with the three permanents and the other ones rotating. The fact that everybody plays in every stadium if they stay 4 years. And I think that's good for fan base, too. One thing SEC's been able to do better than the other conferences that have expanded is they got a solid footprint, a connected footprint. And I think you're going to see some good rivals develop with the way they've got it set up with the permanents and the ones rotating. There's going to be some other traditional ones that are sort of lost, but I think they did a good job of keeping the teams that had a real tradition of playing certain teams and getting that back, I think will help a little bit with fan bases too.
Coach, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, man.
Enjoy it, Gary. It's going to be a big weekend. This is moving day.
Yeah, it is. I'm with you. We're going to know a lot more after Saturday. Coach Ellis Johnson joining us from Columbia, South Carolina. We'll be right back to wrap up this first hour of the Gary Harris Show. Before we do, though, I do want to remind you that tomorrow's Fridays at the Free. I'll be at the Innisfree Irish Pub from 9 to 11 a.m. Stop on by and see me. You can get in a little early, come around to the side door next to the stage where I'm set up, and you can hang out. Also, tomorrow, our Bama football trivia giveaway, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, home of the $99 suit special. We'll be back after this.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Josh from College Football Nerds. He predicted Alabama to beat Georgia. Why? I'll let him explain. We'll talk to Rodney Orr. He predicted Alabama to beat Georgia. Why? He explains why. Bruce Marshall, our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, he joins us and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program. got takeout, too. Call 205-399-2024 or visit Chow's Country Buffet in Tuscaloosa, because filling your stomach shouldn't empty your wallet.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info,
or call 800-550-9219. That's 800-550-9219. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Tide 100.9. Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today. Look out for scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms through early tonight. The high today 82. Tonight's low 66. For tomorrow, partially sunny with only a small chance of a shower. The high 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
A new home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:58. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. I'm going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Find out more at alabamacu.com. Hour number two is on the way, and we are going to have another good hour of sports talk and more here on Tide 100.9 FM and 12:30 AM WTBC. We'll be right back with the second hour.
It's the Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTVC 10K Payday Giveaway. Win cash every weekday 8 to 5. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 241. That's 241. The code is 241.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app. Click on that win cash button for your chance to win $10,000.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
In baseball, all rise.
There you go. Here's the drive to right center field. He is going to do it. Giddy up, baby. Goodbye. Home run from the captain is second tonight. Number 51. That's four RBIs tonight. And the Yankees have an 8-1 lead.
Yankees Radio Network on the call. That was the final score against the White Sox. Cal Raleigh homered twice, bringing his total to 60 as the Mariners cruise past the Rockies 9-2. Seattle has won the AL West for the first time since 2001. Kyle Schwarber homered twice, bringing his total to 56 as the Phillies crushed the Marlins 11-1 to secure a first-round bye. Tommy Edmond with the clutch RBI single in the 11th inning.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, hour number two with Chase Brumfield and yours truly. And this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by my good friends Paul and North Patterson at Patterson Law Firm in Tuscaloosa. Remember, no recovery, no fee. Free consultation 24 hours a day. When you call 205-345-1000, you'll never get a call center. You'll talk to a real attorney right here in West Alabama. That's what we're all about. Local. Invested in you, and they'll sit down with you for that free consultation. And if they think you have a case and they take you, as I said, not a penny out of your pocket unless they win for you. And they'll be honest with you. If they don't think you have a case, they'll tell you that as well. I think that's important. Paul Patterson, North Patterson, Patterson Law Firm in Tuscaloosa.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right. As you know, I call my show Sports and More. We do a music segment on Wednesdays. We talk about pop culture. And we're going to go off the sports topic here for a couple of minutes and visit with Tim McCool, who is putting on the Back 40 Farm Festival this Saturday at the Old Zion Schoolhouse in Gordo, celebrating local farmers. And boy, I think that's pretty cool. They'll have an award for the hardest working farmer. They'll have live music from American Idol finalist Isaiah Moore, local musician Andy Gray, and the 82 West Band as well. And just for fun, a reunion of the Tim McCool Band after 26 years. Food trucks, family-friendly activities. Tim's dad was a farmer for 70 years, so this is something that's very important to him. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good to have you. Kind of tell us, I kind of laid it out there, but tell us how this event came about and what makes it special.
Well, I live on a six-generation family farm. As you said, my dad was a farmer for 70 years, but he just couldn't farm anymore. We still live on that farm. And I thought there's no better way to celebrate something local than to celebrate our farmers. And to celebrate farmers is to celebrate America. And so we decided the best place to do that would be somewhere way back out in the country on the Back 40. So that's where the Back 40 Farm Festival was born from.
Yeah, makes sense. And again, not to try to, I'm certainly not going to get political here, but at the same time, the American farmer, I've heard in my entire life, is the backbone of this country. And I think that that's true. I mean, I think that when you look at the United States of America, the farmer has been as vital to our success and our prosperity as anybody, because without farmers, we don't have what we need to sustain ourselves as a country, do we?
That's exactly right. That goes way beyond political. That's just common sense. And that's what we need to be celebrating, is that we do have such a great backbone in our country, and it's based on farming originally.
And we live in a state where farming is very important, and particularly, right there where you live, Pickens County, West Alabama, a history and tradition of farming. So this makes sense from that standpoint, too.
Yes, sir. Cattle farming, chicken farming, poultry farming, row crop farming, all of that is a staple of Pickens County and West Alabama. And so we're just happy to be able to sort of focus in on that. And what's a better way to celebrate than to come together, have a festival, have live music, have vendors? And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, that's the key, is that obviously there'll be a lot of people who are farmers that are there, but this isn't just for farmers. This is a festival. This is an event. This is a happening. Certainly going to focus on what farming does, but at the same time, you don't have to be a farmer to come, and you don't even have to be somebody who lives in the country. If you want to drive up from Tuscaloosa or Birmingham or anywhere else, I know you'd welcome as many people as you can get for this event.
Yes, sir, that's right. In Zion community, where I've lived all of my life except for a few years of school and about 3 years up in Tennessee, it's a special place. The community center, we've had music there for years for different events. We try to do it at least once a year. This is a new event in the fall when it's going to be cool and nice weather. We trust, and we're praying for nice weather. And we invite everybody to come from anywhere. They will have a good time. We'll have 25-plus vendors at this, and they'll have antique tractors and just different things that'll be going on. I know my kids are really excited. There's going to be fried pies and also – caramel apples and stuff like that. It's going to be great.
Yeah, man. A real fall, you know, farm festival and a fall festival at the same time, man, with those caramel apples and all that great food that's going to be there. And, too, I mean, it's like you said, it's a celebration and it's a chance, kind of, you know, it's 2025 and maybe we've lost a little bit with so much in the technology world now and available to us on the internet. But when I was growing up, I mean, you know, you had festivals and you had entertainment that was outside of, you know, what we have now. And this is a kind of a throwback too. I mean, this is just a chance to get out in the country, you know, throw your hair back and have a hoedown.
Yes, sir. That's what we hope will happen too. I grew up listening to live music, grew up playing live music, writing music. I mean, there's the internet's great, but there's nothing like live music. And there's just an element to that that is something that you can experience. And this is free. Nobody has to pay an entry fee. And it's going to be great music and a great time.
And how about you coming back with the Tim McCool Band for the first time, it says, in 26 years, a reunion?
Yes, sir. It sort of morphed into that. I used to play professionally for a number of years. The last year that we played in 98, 99, we opened up for Toby Keith and Colin Ray and Shenandoah.
How about that?
Some other groups like that. So I left it to go in a different direction and hadn't been back together in 26 years. So all of the guys that I played with, I can't believe it. They're all still alive, including me. And so we're going to come back together and have a good time. And I've added my children to it. Three of my kids will be playing with us, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, and to have American Idol finalist Isaiah Moore, too. That's, you know that's a high-level musician right there.
Absolutely. He's from Alabama, and I tell you what, the good Lord just blessed us to have that door open, and we're so glad that he's coming and can't wait.
Yeah, and other musicians as well. So you mentioned the weather. I think you're going to get your wish. I think Saturday is shaping up to be absolutely gorgeous and a little bit cooler than what it's been too, Tim. So you're going to be in good shape there. All right, go ahead before we wrap up the segment and run it down one more time. What time you're getting started, how late it's going to go, where and when, and all that good stuff.
So the gates will be open around 4 o'clock. I encourage everybody to get there early, get a spot. Also, visit around with the vendors, and we'll start up the music around 5 o'clock, and then we'll also have Andy Gray and 82 West, the local group. It's fantastic. He's my good friend. And then around 7 or so, we'll be starting with the feature group, which will be Isaiah Moore and Southbound. It's out at the Old Zion Schoolhouse out in the country on the back 40, and we just look forward to having anybody that can come and join us. It's going to be a good festive time.
Sounds like it's going to be awesome. Thanks, Tim.
All right, thank you for having us on.
You betcha. All right, that is going to be the Back 40 Farm Festival on Saturday afternoon at the Old Zion Schoolhouse in Gordo, Alabama. Listen, a lot of football going on, but you want to break away from football. This sounds like it's going to be a blast. And I guarantee you, you can keep up with the scores. I imagine there'll be a few TVs on up there as well to monitor the football. All right, let's stay here and get to some phone calls. We'll get to Jeff, and then we'll get to Pat. Hey, Jeff, good morning. Jeff, you there? Jeff gone. All right, let's punch through Pat. I guarantee you Pat will be there. Jeff, call back if we cut you off. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Yes, sir. I guarantee you I'm going to want to talk to Mr. Gary Harris. That's a privilege.
Thanks, sir.
I'm sorry that you didn't get to see the kicker from Hillcrest actually do a whole lot of performance.
Yeah.
Because it was a bad day for the Hillcrest group. But I guess he just... my son said they just couldn't get that offense going at all against Trussville. Trussville's another one of those big, powerful schools, and there's so many kids from Birmingham migrating toward Trussville and wanting to get out of the city of Birmingham and into a rural area that's really growing in leaps and bounds, kind of like Pelham and those areas, other areas there to the south part of Birmingham. It's just more affordable, I reckon. That's probably about the reason for it.
Could be, man. Makes sense to me. It does.
I'm getting really excited about this game. I see the line appears to be dropping closer to 3 on this Georgia game, which is basically, when you figure that home field advantage, it's nearly a pick 'em that So it's looking more and more like even the silk seats in Vegas think that this game could go either way.
Yeah, and I think you could too, Pat. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's no reason for me to believe that this game's not going to be a fourth quarter game and go right down the wire and come down to who makes the plays when the game is on the line. And I hope it's Alabama, and I know you do too. And if history is a indicator, it will be. I mean, Alabama has had Georgia's number. There's no way around that. Even last year, after they blew that lead, you know, that huge lead late in the game, they made the two plays they had to do to win it. You know, Milroe hit Ryan Williams, and then Xavier Brown made a game-saving interception there at the end. So, I hope they've got one more in them.
I believe this comes down to Roberts being healthy, and I just feel like that we're going to be able to give Ty enough time that we can at least get the short passes completed, and he may not have time to launch those bombs, but if we can move to about four to five yards, is all you got to need. All you need to win the ball game is 4 to 5 yards of play on average, and that moves the sticks. And I'm excited that and it sure would be nice to see Ty Simpson, Alabama win and Ty roll up over 300 yards and get right back in the thick of the conversation for that final trophy toward the end.
Well, wouldn't it though?
I'm talking about personal trophy.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because he's
I know what you're talking about. If he goes into Athens and he has a big game, based on what he's done already this season, but let's say he goes over there and he lights up the Bulldogs, then yeah, you're going to see Ty Simpson's name mentioned with the Heisman. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So he's got an opportunity. Yep. Of course, they have an opportunity as a team, but he's got an opportunity as an individual too to take a step towards something special. No doubt about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, you have a fine day, and hopefully that kicker gets to do a little more tomorrow night. And where are you calling the game tomorrow night?
Well, I'm going to be.
I know you're on a call somewhere.
Well, I'm going to be staying in studio tomorrow night. Pat, and getting the show ready, but we'll have crews out everywhere covering games, and it's a kind of a weird week in that we're kind of halfway through the season now, so there's a lot of buys this week. There are a lot of teams that are off, so we're not quite having as many games as we normally do, but we will we'll get the ones, and then of course, you know, Pickens County and Gordo getting canceled hurts us as well, but there'll still be some good games tomorrow night.
Wyatt going to do the final call tomorrow evening?
He will. He sure will. He'll be here for it.
All right. I'll be waiting.
And I'll be at Innisfree in the morning, Pat, if you want to swing by, you know, so just.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. All right, buddy.
Maybe I can talk to the guy into having catfish Fridays again.
They got fried catfish on the menu, and tomorrow they'll have the full menu too, since it's not a home game. So you get that fried catfish, tell them to give you a bun, and you make your catfish sandwich right there.
Absolutely. That by the time your show's over, be ready to eat.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, have a blessed one, sir. Thank you so much, Pat.
Appreciate you, man. All right, we'll get back to Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going?
I just want to say
there's a friend of mine, met him. His daughter plays volleyball up here at one of the local schools in Tennessee, and he's a Bama fan. He was just telling me that the board needed to beat somebody with some substance, or it's gonna be enough. That's what they say anyway. If y'all lose tomorrow, it'll get warmer. So. Or Saturday, whatever, to go to Everett. That's what he says. So his shirt says, "Keep calm and roll tide." So I'm not sure how calm he is, but that's what it says. So.
Well, Valley, listen, I mean, this is the nature of Alabama football. If Alabama loses Saturday, there are going to be some frustrated fans. I guarantee you. That's the way it works around here.
Can we say because of his predecessor?
Well, that's certainly part of it. I mean, with what Nick Saban did, the success he had, but really it's been that way, though, even before Nick Saban. The expectations at Alabama are right or wrong. They're to win. And if you have a coach that, you know, has some losses, the heat gets turned up in a hurry. And I don't care if
That's true. I mean, that's true. No, I've been saying when Barry Bryant retired, it took y'all a while. Don't find it right then.
All right, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's but it's going to be a big game on Saturday night now, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah, Yeah, no doubt. I'm going to tell you, man, they go to South Carolina. Nobody's giving you take your chance anyway. So, I guess they win the games, which I don't really care. I don't look at the games 4 years down the road.
Right. Me either. Yeah.
45, but so nobody cares. Nobody cares. The SEC network cares. I can tell you that, but nobody else does. But see, they'll never have a basketball schedule release show. They'll never do that.
Yeah.
They don't care about basketball. All they care about is football and the other sports. Be damned. I watched the volleyball. They started SEC play last night. You think you look pretty good? But they ain't worried about the other sports. All they worry about is football. They can tag. It's like the NFL. Guy plays the NFL. They ain't worried about who's in the stands. It's about TV contracts. How much TV money they're making. They ain't worried about getting stands or not. So that's what it has to do. But now I'm sure you know what stage they put the spread in South Carolina for 28. They ain't got a chance, true?
What's that again now?
So you can tell you don't have a chance winning Columbia, true? South Carolina for 28.
I don't know. I think Kentucky's got a chance. I think South Carolina probably won the game, but I don't.
What's the point spread?
Oh, the point spread's only 5.5. South Carolina's 5.5-point favorite.
Well, that's all. Where somebody's been drinking something, if it's 5.5.
That's what it is, buddy. That's what it is. All right. Thank you, Jeff. It's 10:19 here on the Gary Harris Show. And he said he thought somebody had been drinking. Maybe it's him. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa. The Y is ready for you. We're ready for the Y. I still hadn't figured out what he said. But I was in there yesterday, had a great workout. You'd have a great workout too, man. 7 days a week, the Y, downtown, 2300 13th Street. Get by and see them. Become a member. I've been a member for over 20 years. I love the place. Also, for seniors, they have the Silver Sneakers Program, which is a discounted membership. That's the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. We'll be right back. We can take more phone calls in the next segment before we get to Jeff Spiegel at 10:30. The Gary Harris Show rolls on from Tuscaloosa right after this.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here at the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville continues to question the Veterans Administration's handling of its fiduciary program.
I sometimes even wonder if the VA understands its purpose.
Tuberville claims there are issues of fraud, mismanagement, oversight, failures, and potential infringements on veteran rights. Former Alabama and NFL quarterback A.J. McCarron may be considering a run for the U.S. Senate or Lieutenant Governor. Polling is underway in both races now. And if Warrior Met Coal wins new federal coal land leases next week and expands its operations in Tuscaloosa County, it will endanger the Black Warrior water dog salamander, according to Black Warrior Riverkeeper. Don't buy your new or pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from anywhere other than Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Our local team provides a five-star buying experience and five-star service. Over 100 new vehicles, 31 pre-owned vehicles in stock. Shop local Mercedes of Tuscaloosa.com or come see us at 3200 Skyland Boulevard East, Tuscaloosa. I'm Don Hartley.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours.
Easy and stress-free. Tuscaloosa Dodge, Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz. Three great dealerships. One promise. Your car, your way in Tuscaloosa today.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
the game. The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today. Look out for scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms through early tonight. The high today 82. Tonight's low 66. For tomorrow, partially sunny with only a small chance of a shower. The high 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Hot!
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
All right, 10:25, and since Jeff called in about the and brought up the point spread, I give my point spread predictions tomorrow, but I will run down the lines for you today. A lot of people are interested in that. Notre Dame at Arkansas, Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on ABC. Notre Dame right now is a 4.5-point favorite. The under-over on that game, according to ESPN Bet, is at 64.5. Utah State at number 18, Vanderbilt, 11:45 on Saturday morning. Vanderbilt's a 23.5-point favorite, over under 58.5. LSU at number 4, LSU at number 13, Ole Miss, 2:30 Saturday afternoon on ABC. Ole Miss, a 1.5-point favorite, over under 54.5. Auburn at number 9, Texas A&M, 2:30 on ESPN. Kyle Field and College Station on Saturday. A&M's a 6.5-point favorite to over under 52.5 in that game. Tennessee at Mississippi State, the Vols ranked number 15 in the country. Davis-Wade Stadium, Scott Field at Davis-Wade Stadium in Starkville. Tennessee's an 8.5-point favorite, 63.5 over under. Alabama at Georgia. That line is going up. It was at 2.5. Now it's at 3.5. And the over-under is 52.5. Alabama number 17, Georgia number 5. UMass at number 20, Missouri. And as you might guess, that's a lopsided line on Saturday night in Columbia. 43.5-point favorite is Missouri, 56.5, the over-under. And Kentucky at South Carolina. I don't know where Jeff got a 28-point line from, but South Carolina is a 5.5-point favorite at Williams-Brice Stadium. And the over-under is 46.5. So that's your SEC schedule with the point spreads and the over-unders for Saturday. Tomorrow I make my point spread predictions, after I said coming off a 7-2 week last week. So feeling good about that. And what does that put me at again? 25-16 for the year. That's not bad. Of course, again, one bad week is all it takes to pull that down, but 25-16 right now sounds pretty good to me. All right, it is 10:27 here on the Gary Harris Show. Lunch is right around the corner, and check out Decades Pub and Grub for lunch beginning at 11 a.m. I went by there last night after the news and grabbed a chicken quesadilla. It was unbelievable how good it is. The food is just next level, cool place. Two bars in one, really. One side, you've got the bar with the music. On the other side, you got the sports bar. And also have outdoor seating at Timberson Square, Decades Pub and Grub. All right, we're going to come back with Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340, talking some football with us, as he does every week, right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Running down the road, trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women on.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's Speaks time. Jeff Spiegel, sports anchor, ABC 3340 in Birmingham, joins me for his weekly segment. How's it going, Jeff?
Great, Gary. How are you?
Doing well. Alabama, Georgia, Saturday night in Athens. First time since 2015 that Alabama's visited Sanford Stadium between the hedges. And Kirby, after practice on Tuesday, was asked about the last time these two teams played. And he was on the Alabama sideline, and he said Derrick Henry. Then he talked about that Alabama defense. He said they were so competitive that when he didn't say Chubb by name, but it was Chubb that had that long touchdown run late. He said the defensive linemen and the linebackers were wanting to fight each other on the sideline for giving up that play. He said, even though they were up 30 points or whatever, he said, that's when you know you've got a good team. And so it's a lot's changed since then. And Jeff, when you think about it, Kirby had chances to lead before that. If Martin Rick beats Alabama in that 2012 SEC championship team. They probably win the national championship. I think they would have beaten Notre Dame just like Alabama did. Or if they win that game in 2015, who knows? Maybe that changes their season. It you know, not only did Alabama and Nick Saban help Kirby Smart in his coaching career, that you know, win, particularly in 2015, kind of opened that job up or helped open that job up for Kirby to go there, Jeff. So, and a lot of inner, you know, twined storylines between these two teams.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was there at that game. That was so much fun. It came like a torrential downpour, mm-hmm. you know, during that game. And if I remember correctly, and I think I do, there was a little dust up
before
the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Georgia guys were jawing with the Alabama guys and poking the bear. And then Alabama just kind of just let them have it. Because Alabama was not sitting in a good spot going into that game.
No, lost Ole Miss.
Lost to Ole Miss, yeah. And so everybody thought, whoa, this is the dynasty ending this quickly or whatever, you know? But wow, Alabama came out and punched him in the mouth repeatedly over and over again. And it was, it was really something to watch.
Yeah, I think it was 35-0 at one point before it wound up 38-10. But times have changed. But at the same time, Alabama's dominance over Georgia has continued, and Kirby's 1-6 against the Tide. And Jeff, we've talked about this. I mean, he's the closest to Nick Saban of all the former assistants to me. Just the way he approaches the game, the way he coaches, the mindset. And you know, Nick Saban always said it's never personal for me. But at the same time, and Kirby says the same thing, you know, he wants to win this game because it's the next one and it's the SEC. You know, to get them to 2-0, and there's a lot of reasons why it's a big game. But personally, I would think it means a little bit more, having spent 9 years here, having been on national championship teams here, and then to know that you've had very little success against Alabama. Don't you think down deep it is a little bit personal?
Well, I would think so. And he won't talk much about this until after he retires and he's looking back at his legacy and all that stuff. But I don't think he wants this trend to continue, you know, where Alabama, you know, keeps beating him. You know, he wants to get a few wins under his belt, you know, when it comes to Alabama. And I think you're exactly right. I think he's the mirror image, you know, of Nick, the way he's built this program, just his demeanor, you know, during the week. You know, it's hard to get him to smile, you know, during the course of a football season. And he's just he's so dadgum hard-nosed, and his teams reflect the coach's personality, because a Georgia team never quits. A Georgia team under Kirby Smart never quits.
That's right.
We saw a great example of that last year in Tuscaloosa. You know, you think you got him down, but you don't have him down. You don't have him down until, you know, the clock hits zero. So that's what I've always loved and respected, you know, about his teams there.
Which quarterback you like the best, Gunnar Stockton or Ty Simpson?
Well, I'll tell you, I've come to like them both. I like Ty Simpson. I love his confidence level. I mean, after Tallahassee, you know, the guy's 41 of his last 46 for 600 yards. But I'm telling you, and, you know, I don't know about our situation here at this TV station. You know, we got folks like from all over the country, you know, who work here. We got a Virginia Tech Hokie who works over on the sales side. We've got some Tennessee fans here. We've got a few Georgia fans in the building. And the Georgia fans, you know, aren't completely sold on Gunnar Stockton yet. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Did you see that 4th and 6th throw he made, like in Knoxville, in that situation, and you're still not sold on him? I mean, they're not completely 100% sold on him yet. So he's got some more to prove. Now, beating Alabama would certainly, you know, help his stock. His stock was raised in my eyes after what he did in Knoxville and that throw he made on 4th and 6th, just dropping in the bucket, you know, there to London Humphreys.
Yeah, it was perfect. All right, so who do you like on Saturday night?
You know, I like Georgia. I like Georgia by a touchdown. I think it's going to be a great football game. I really, really do. But I think, you know, home field advantages and everything. But you know, they've won 33 in a row there. They're tough to beat there. But I don't think Alabama's going to go in, you know, I think they were surprised at Florida State, quite frankly, that the Seminoles came out and hit them in the jaw like they did. Nothing that Georgia does is going to surprise them. But, you know, we talked with Gene Chizik yesterday. I did a Zoom call with him yesterday. And his major concern about Alabama going into this thing is the inability to run the football. And maybe with Jam Miller, you know, that's going to help. But he's surprised that they haven't been able to get more push, you know, from that offensive line when it comes to running the football. And he says, and I agree, the most dangerous thing to do against the Georgia defense is become one-dimensional. You know, and I think Alabama is going to have to be able to run the ball to win this game.
Jeff Spiegel with us from ABC 3340. The Auburn Tigers had a tough one last Saturday in Norman. You know, a couple calls went against them. They gave up 11 sacks, but they had a chance to win the game. But Oklahoma pulled it out. Now you've got to come off that disappointment and knowing that you're staring 0-2 in the face if you can't come up with a way to upset Texas A&M and College Station on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, they did. And I don't know if that's more of an indictment on Auburn or more of an indictment on Oklahoma, you know, that they sacked Jackson Arnold 10 times and Auburn had 13 penalties and they were still in the ball game. I mean, that may be more of an indictment on where Oklahoma is going, you know, in the future. But I think if you're an Auburn fan, I think you've got some hope, you know, because you didn't play so well, because so many things went against you in that game, and you still had a chance to win it, you know. And so I think it's critical. This is big for them to go into Texas A&M. If they could steal a win, you know, at College Station, I think that make everyone feel a little bit better, you know, about this football team. And so I think it's a really, really important game for them to go in there and win.
And for Oklahoma, you got a lot of positive momentum. You're unbeaten, and now you lose your quarterback, John Mateer, who, give him credit, he played basically that most of that game with a broken hand. He's going to be out several weeks. Fortunately, they're on bye this week, but that changes a lot for the Sooners, because this guy, a lot of people were talking about him as a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yeah, it really does. In fact, I was talking about all the fans we have in the building. We have an Oklahoma fan in the building, too. And he's kind of sick about it. He's optimistic that everything that he's heard is that they may have him back for the Red River rivalry. But I've seen some other indications that's too soon. You know, that does hurt them because, you know, he's become kind of the heart and soul, you know, of that football team. And, you know, give credit to Auburn's defense. You know, they kind of limited him to what he could do. Now, I'm not sure how much the injury had to do with that, but I do think that puts Oklahoma in kind of a rough spot.
Big weekend in the league with some marquee games that we've already talked about, a couple of them. Another one, the Magnolia Bowl with LSU at Ole Miss, and Brian Kelly and Lane Kiffin, boy, they've been going right down to the wire, overtime, double overtimes since they've been facing each other. And I don't see why that won't be the case again on Saturday afternoon in Oxford, do you?
No, I don't. I'm really looking forward to that one. That's going to be fun. That's going to be the one right before the Bama-Georgia game. So I wouldn't surprise me if the Bama-Georgia game starts a tad later, you know, after that one's done. But, that one is so much fun to watch. That's one of those you see on the calendar and you go, yeah, that's going to be good. Because, you know, I think they're both just, you know, playing at a really high level. And what about what Lane Kiffin has done, you know, with Trinidad Chambliss, you know, to bring him in, and, you know, with Austin Simmons being out, and it's like plugging a quarterback. Lane Kiffin can coach him up and get him ready to play. And I think it's just adds to the credibility of his coaching career.
Scott Field, Davis Wade Stadium is going to be jumping tomorrow on Saturday afternoon. Number 15 Tennessee comes to town. And look at this, Mississippi State's 4-0. We'll find out if it's fool's gold. Now, they beat Arizona State, and they beat a Northern Illinois team that you can never take for granted, 38-14 last weekend. But now they get the balls. We'll find out a lot about Mississippi State. Do you think they can hold up? Do you think they'll have a shot here?
Well, we absolutely will. We'll find out a lot about them, and we'll find out that they're not at Tennessee's level yet. I think Tennessee's going to go in there, and I think they're going to win convincingly. I really love Aguilar. I love the way he throws the football. I love those receivers. And look, I know Georgia put up a lot of yards on him, but I think I have a lot of respect defensively. I mean, you know, for the way Tennessee plays and gets after you. So, you know, I think it's going to be Tennessee winning by a couple of scores, I think, in this one. And it'll bring Mississippi State fans back to earth, I think.
All right, for the Arkansas Razorbacks, I mean, I said this earlier when I was talking with Ellis Johnson, Jeff. Sometimes you just think some coaches are just jinxed. Maybe it's just they just don't coach well enough to get over the hump. But a lot of one-score losses for Sam Pittman since he's been at Arkansas. And this year, I mean, they ought to be undefeated. I mean, they should have beaten Ole Miss. They should have beaten Memphis. And late fumbles, of course, a missed extra point at Ole Miss as well. And all of a sudden, you're instead of 4-0 and riding this incredible wave of momentum into the Notre Dame game, you're 2-2. And your fan base is just about ready to get rid of you. The Irish, though, are 1-2. So it's not like this is a Notre Dame team that's setting the world on fire either. Does Arkansas have a shot on Saturday?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Notre Dame is still one of those programs that even though, you know, they're not the Notre Dame, you know, of old or whatever, I mean, they're still like when they come to your stadium and they roll the helmets out there, still a little bit of an intimidation factor out there, you know, because of the history, you know, that comes with that program. And one thing about Notre Dame, I mean, they'll go anywhere, anytime, and play anybody. And so they're not going to be intimidated by, you know, walking into Razorback Stadium, you know, and playing an SEC school. I mean, they've been there and done that before. So it is, Sam Pittman is having some tough luck. I mean, it's a shame that, you know, his guys can't hold on to the football in clutch situations like that. But it is striking me as one of those years where, you know, bad things are starting to happen and the snowball is just rolling down the hill. And this is going to be another one of those examples. I think Notre Dame comes in and beats them and just kind of adds to Sam's misery.
South Carolina, so much hype going into the season. And we're seeing already, boy, expectations changes everything. They get Kentucky at home. I mean, this is what, you know, Ella said, if they don't win this one, they might not make a bowl game. I mean, Shane Beamer and company are desperate for a win. Of course, Kentucky is, you know, 2-1. But do you see any scenario here that South Carolina won't win this game? I mean, surely to gosh, at home against Kentucky, they'll get a W.
Well, you brought it up last week, right, about how we kind of get suckered in by preseason rankings, mm-hmm. preseason hype, and all that stuff. And I mean, it's a must win for South Carolina. I mean, they got to save some face here, or it's going to be you know Beamer balls like one and done, or you know, and all that, and it's not going anywhere. But it strikes me as a game that Kentucky can come in there and win. You know, because the psyche is not in the best condition right now if you're a South Carolina football player. So they may be just like a teensy bit away from just kind of losing this thing and the wheels coming off completely. And a Kentucky win, I think, would certainly do that for them.
All right, nationally, we've got Oregon going to Penn State. And help me out here. I know it's in Happy Valley, but from what I've seen, I think Oregon's clearly a better football team. I think they're going to go in there. I think they're going to roll the Nittany Lions. What do you think?
I do too. I'm looking forward to this one. I mean, I think Penn State is certainly, you know, legit. I mean, I love the running backs, you know, and they've got the guys in position to handle the ball, to make the plays, but Oregon is just their offense is just so scary good that I kind of agree with you. I mean, I like Oregon winning this thing, but I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, one of those classic finishes and great football games. It's setting up to be like one of the best Saturdays, you know, of the year so far, certainly. It could be one of the best of the year.
Penn State, a 3.5-point favorite. Jacksonville State gets a chance for a road win over a program that's got, you know, a lot of history and tradition. Let's not forget Southern Miss, what they've been able to do over the years against bigger schools. But this is a chance for Jack State to go into Hattiesburg, I think, and get a win on Saturday night.
Yeah, I agree. I love the way Jacksonville State ran the football, you know, last Saturday. Sam Cook was terrific. He ran for 147. And that's a great equalizer. You know, when you go on the road, if you can play defense and you can run the football, then you can win anywhere. You can win anywhere in the country. You know, if you can't do that, it's hard to win anywhere. And so, but I think they've got that running game cooking, And I love the way Cook is playing, and I think I like them going in there and pulling off the victory.
Yeah, Cam Cook looks like one of the best running backs in the country, Jeff.
He does. He really, really does. I mean, he runs with power and attitude.
All right, high school tonight, Corey wanted me to ask you about Thompson and Clay Chalkville. If there's a 6A team, there aren't many 6A teams probably that can hang with Thompson, but Clay Chalkville maybe has a chance. How do you see this game playing out?
Well, they hung with them last year, and in fact, they beat them
on Thompson's
home field.
Sure did.
And so, yeah, I mean, they've definitely got, you know, the tools to come in there and do it. I mean, they're playing with a lot of confidence, a lot of swagger right now. Not that Thompson isn't. I mean, they are too, but I like a great game here, a close game, but I like the Cougars winning it.
Wow, just going with Clay Chalkville to go back to back against Thompson. I'm gonna push back on you a little bit. I think Thompson gets it done, and I think Hewitt beats Pinson Valley tomorrow night, and I think next week we get Thompson and Hewitt for the biggest game so far in high school football. That's what I think.
Well, I mean, I tell you this. I think Clay Chalkville is kind of on a mission.
Oh, they're good.
I feel like they thought they should have won, you know, the 6A title last year. They felt like they were maybe good enough to do that. You know, they added some pieces. That great receiver from Spain Park, and you know, and I think, you know, they're on a mission to show that, you know, not only can they win the 6A title, but they can knock off the defending 7A champs as well again. So that's why I lock them in this game.
Yeah, we're getting short on time, but I know you're just as disappointed as I am. We understand why, but Pickens County and Gordo, the 8 Mile War, first time in 100 years not playing that game on Friday night, man. I'm just so disappointed.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and next year, hopefully things will be a lot better, and things will be a lot better between the schools, and they'll pick that thing back up, because it is one of the most special rivalries in the state. I mean, once Clay County and Libel stopped playing each other, I think this one kind of took, you know, one of the top rows as far as, you know, best overall rivalry.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it for sure. All right, Jeff, great stuff. Of course, I know you got a big weekend coming up with high school football and, of course, the ELG wrap. And, again, you work for an ABC affiliate. The table's set pretty good for the ELG wrap for you on Saturday night, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I really appreciate it. Thanks to everybody for watching, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, 10:51 here on the Gary Harris Show, and we got one segment to go, so we'll come back and wrap it up, get you ready for the Miller's Edge right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today. Look out for scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms through early tonight. The high today, 82. Tonight's low, 66. For tomorrow, partially sunny with only a small chance of a shower. The high, 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
A minutes to go here on the show before we wrap it up. A reminder, catch me on TV tonight with the local sports on WVUA 23. Of course, tomorrow morning, Fridays at the Free. I'm live at Industry Irish Pub from 9 to 11. They open at 11, but you can swing on by a little early if you want. Hang out with me. Always a lot of fun when I'm over at Innisfree. And then tomorrow night, Football Friday at 10:30 until 11:30 on WVUA 23. And then Saturday, I'm not going to Athens, but I will have a crew over there, Jalen Prince and Hunter Brantley, heading over Saturday morning. And then we'll have coverage on our WVUA 23 10 o'clock newscast Saturday night of the Alabama-Georgia game. And, of course, coverage all day here on Tide. I mean, you got the game, you've got the Crimson Tide Sports Network coverage, you've got our pregame show with the Bear and Tide, postgame show with the Bear and Tide. I mean, Saturday's Alabama football, Tide 100.9 FM is the place to be for all the great coverage of Alabama football. So getting ready for another big football weekend. And as we talked about at the top of the show, didn't get a ton of rain, but even a little bit has helped knock some of the dust out of the air. Nothing else. You know, my windshield was just covered in dirt and dust. And you can do it with your windshield wipers, but I like it better when you get a little bit of soaking rain to really kind of knock it off. So, yeah, so it's going to be a great weekend. And tomorrow morning is going to be a lot of fun at Innisfree Irish Pub. Hey, before we do close it out, I want to mention to you another one of my great sponsors, Who's Q and Brew on Highway 82 in the Northridge Center in Tuscaloosa, open 7 days a week. And lunch specials daily, dinner specials, drink specials, really a neat place with, I think, the best barbecue in town. In fact, I went yesterday for lunch after my workout at the Y, because they had the rib special on, how about this, Chase? On Wednesdays, the rib special. You get ribs, two sides, and your drink for $12, tax included. Every Wednesday. Now, that's a deal. And those ribs, man, I eat them all the way down to the bone. I mean, they are so good. Two sides, ribs, bread. I didn't mention that. And your drink for $12, tax included. There are a lot of specials, but that's the one that takes the cake for me. Rib special on Wednesday. So, yeah, you got to wait until next Wednesday. But tonight, too, is tonight is there. No. Yeah, tonight's a burger night. $5 burger night. Half-pound burger at Who's Q tonight for $5, man. Can't beat that. All right, Miller's Edge is coming up next, and that'll be a lot of fun with Kristen Miller and the pastor, Payne Corey Miller. 1 o'clock, it's the Deep South College Football Show with Wyatt Fulton. Then 2 o'clock, Ryan Fowler will take you home with the game, as always. Have a great afternoon, everybody, and I'll talk to you again in the morning live from Industry Irish Pub at 9 a.m.